Hey, everybody, and welcome into another episode of Speedway Soccer. I'm Jonathan Slate, filling in for Davey Shepherd tonight, here with Ben Wright and Lucas Panzica, coming to talk to you about another Nashville win last night. You know, Ben, you were there at the game last night looking at that 1-0 win over DC United. What were some of your initial thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I think it was the first match that we've seen Nashville really be on the front foot throughout the entire match. Obviously, the first half when DC United were playing with 11 men, and then in the second half, they went down to 10 right before the break. But even with a full team, DC really sat back and let Nashville dictate the game. And that's not really something that we've seen a ton from Nashville, even at home. So it was interesting to see how Nashville did. I thought they had moments where they really caused problems. I think they can tend to resort to crossing the ball as their primary method of chance creation a little bit too easily. But I think overall it was a good performance from Nashville, and I think definitely some positives to take going forward.
I think it would have been a massive disappointment if Nashville did not come away with 3 points last night at halftime when DC goes down to 10 men. You've been in control, last place team in the conference at home, have to get those 3 points, and they did just enough. So a performance to be pleased with, but certainly I think avoided disaster by taking away all 3 points from that matchup.
Yeah, no. So when we were kind of talking with Ben and Davey during the game last night, and I said like at halftime, at that point, once DC goes down a man, like you have no, like it would have been a huge disappointment, like you said, to come out of there not winning the game. But you know, I think coming into the game, I think there were some big surprises from the Nashville lineup. We know Hani Mukhtar had an injury yesterday, and that Taylor Washington came in for Daniel Lovitz, who was out in yellow card accumulation. But I think probably the biggest surprise, at least for me, was Derek Jones, who up until this point has been a bit of a disappointment with, you know, what he came in and what, you know, kind of the hype behind him. But I thought he did really well, you know, being able to win free kicks. He won a couple of top of the box. He drew both yellow cards on Russell Knauss yesterday, so I think he was kind of, you know, central to what everything Nashville did yesterday. Was curious to see your guys' thoughts on how he played.
Yeah, I think this was the best match that he's played for Nashville so far. I mean, I would include MLS and USL. I think he's shown flashes for sure, definitely the USL level and in the matches we've seen him play in MLS, but he's never really put it together for 90 minutes, and I think he was the standout player on the field for either side. I know it's kind of a cliche in soccer, calling a guy like having a great touch for a big man. And he really does. I mean, he's what, 6'3", 6'4", has really soft feet, really good on the ball. He made DC defenders miss with his first touch consistently, really aggressive around the box and caused them all kinds of problems. And I know we've talked about how we don't think the 10 is a natural fit for him. And I think I would agree with that, but I definitely think he showed what he can do from that position. And it was just a good performance to see. I think we had kind of been down on him recently, I think fairly so. And even Gary Smith said that he hasn't lived up to his potential recently. And I think it was really good to see that, yeah, while it hasn't been fantastic recently from him, this is why Nashville went and got him. And this is the player that they were hoping they would get.
Yeah, I admit I rolled my eyes a bit when I saw him in the starting lineup. I was a little worried coming in. In that debut he had, that I can't remember who the opponent was, it just felt like he wasn't ready for that level and felt like he was getting pushed off the ball and looked out of place. But he was a constant threat, and the energy he brought to the midfield last night was very impressive. And just look with what Nashville has done, bringing in talent from USL, you got to think has to be – I would imagine they've gotten more minutes out of players that were in USL a year ago than any other team in the MLS. And now I haven't check to see if that's true, but just last night with Alan Wynn, Daniel Rios, Taylor Washington, and Derek Jones, and none of those four players looked out of place last night, I thought. So certainly encouraging for Gary Smith and Nashville SC to get that type of production from people that were with you in USL last season.
Yeah, no, can you talk about the last game he started? Was that 1-0 win at Dallas at the beginning of the restart. And he looked like a completely different player from the guy that we saw in that game against Dallas. I also thought when Randall Leal came on, Jones dropped back a little bit with Godoy, and that was really the first time we've seen him play in those two more holding midfield positions. And I thought he did fairly well, even considering there wasn't a whole lot to be done from a Nashville perspective as far as defending. Talking about USL, I think last night we had at one point four USL guys on the field last night, and I mean, I think the big story with that is Daniel Rios getting his first goal. A great header, to get in there, mix it up and get finished really well. He had missed one earlier in the game, but, great to see Rios get that first goal. And I think it'll go a long way, gaining some confidence, because we see it all the time in soccer. Sometimes you just got to get that first goal and then, they keep coming.
Yeah. Going back to what Lucas said too about USL guys getting production, I haven't checked to see how it rounds up around the rest of the league, but Nashville have got just over 1,300 minutes so far from guys who played in USL last year. I mean, that's including Brian Anunga, who obviously wasn't with Nashville. But I think they've brought a lot of really solid players from USL who have been kind of on the border, almost making it to MLS before. We see that with guys like Alan Wynn, who was drafted by Colorado Rapids, Taylor Washington, drafted by the Philadelphia Union, and giving them a year or two or more of production at the USL level to really develop as players. And now we're seeing them produce in MLS. I think Taylor Washington is a guy who we've talked about a lot. Pretty consistent left back for Nashville at the USL level. And obviously Dan Lovitz is one of, if not the best left backs in MLS. So I don't think Taylor Washington is coming for his job. But up till now, he's done a good job off the bench. And I think you saw that, okay, if something happens to Lovitz, they have a decent deputy at left back. He did a really good job, just pretty well neutralizing Julian Gressel throughout the most of the match. And I thought he may have had a few positioning issues, but I think he really grew into the game, and his ability to get up and down that left wing and put in a cross has been pretty important for Nashville off the bench. And I think he's a good substitute if they need it.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of drop off from Lovitz to Washington. He had good service for most of the night. And I'll pose this question to you guys. I know Rios has gotten the most minutes right out of any of the USL players from last season, but who has impressed you the most of guys that were able to stick with Nashville into the transition to MLS between Rios, Wynn, Jones? I guess you could include Anunga in there, even though we've only seen him in one game. In Washington, who do you think has appeared to be the most natural fit at the MLS level?
I think for me, I would probably say Brian Anunga. I think he
with only one game. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, just his one game, I think he looked like a really, really good, solid number six. He doesn't give you the two-way ability that Godoy and McCarty do, but I think he's a guy who, I mean, he's been on trial with MLS teams for the past couple of years, and I think you see why he's a guy that Nashville went out and paid $50,000 to get. I think last night, though, I was really impressed with Alan Wynn. We haven't seen much of him up until the past couple games. He's looked good off the bench. And then coming in for Baji in the 20th minute, 21st minute, he had a couple moments where he almost changed the game for Nashville. And so I think you're seeing him kind of grow into this level slowly.
Yeah, I would say probably the one that's impressed me the most has been Taylor Washington. And I think a lot of it's the fact that I didn't know how well he was going to translate to MLS, because we saw in USL that he has speed. And there was a question of, did he have USL speed? And when he came into MLS, was that going to be not as apparent? And he seems to have that speed, at the top level. And I honestly didn't think he was going to play as much. But I think, he's taken the opportunity, the fact that, Jimmy Madronda has been hurt and hasn't been there to be the backup left back. And he's come in and he's looked really good, really strong, and hasn't made a ton of really mistakes, especially for a guy who's, just at the beginning of his MLS career. But I think another takeaway from last night, and Matt Doyle talked about this on the Nashville Soccer Show with Davey and Will, was seeing how Alistair Johnson was going to respond to the mistake that he made in the Columbus match, and giving like the mistake that led to the goal, and how he was going to respond. And Assad and DC really did target Johnson, but I think he did a really good job of responding to that pressure and that press, and coming out and putting in a good performance.
Yeah, I think he responded with his best performance for Nashville yet. I think in the first half, especially, like you just mentioned, Sleip, DC really targeted him when he was in possession. Every time he received a pass, they would immediately close him down and put pressure on him. He responded to that well. And then I think in the second half, he really grew into the game. You saw that half volley shot from just outside the box that forced Tamid into a really good save, put in a couple of really good crosses, and then he ended up having the secondary assist to Rios on the goal. So I think, I know Jack Mara was talked a lot about in the draft as kind of one of the best defensive prospects, and I think he'll probably still pan out to be that. But I think Alistair Johnston was kind of a steal for Nashville. I don't think he'll win Rookie of the Year just with the way that Daryl DK has been playing for Orlando City, but I think he's got to be one of the top candidates at this point. And I think Nashville have probably found their starting right back for the next couple years.
Yeah, of the young players of, 21 and younger, I think Alistair Johnston has a sincere argument to excite Nashville SC fans the most when you look to the future, especially when you think about how often were we talking about the right back position and how big of a question mark it was with Eric Miller in the first two games before the pandemic hit. And then when we had the restart, said, okay, what's going to happen at right back? And that first game back, it still felt like an issue. And he has, I think, cleared that up. And that gives Nashville's fans a big reason for excitement considering his youth.
Yeah. Oh, let's kind of wrap up, talking about DC and, come out of the break, we're going to talk about the Houston game and the rest of the season. But, any kind of final thoughts on the, how Nashville performed in the match last night?
I don't think it was pretty. I don't know how pretty it's going to be playing DC United just in general. I think they're a team who really enjoys making it difficult for the other team, probably more than they enjoy creating scoring chances for themselves. But I think that's the kind of game where sometimes you just have to grind out to a 1-0 win. And I think we're seeing the consistency develop from Nashville, especially at home. And that's just going to be key down the stretch and potentially into the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know that a lot of Nashville's results are going to be pretty. The only game that I have not been able to watch, and I went back and caught most of it, was the Atlanta game, which I guess has the biggest argument for being the most free-flowing, exciting game Nashville has played all season. But I don't think any results that Nashville comes away with are going to be considered pretty or glamorous. But they got the result, and I think this team is shaping up to be, like we've been talking about all season, one DP striker that can consistently score goals away from consistently one of the better teams in MLS. And it's crazy to think that, but what, 10 different players having scored one goal each, not one player has scored more than one goal this season for Nashville. And you just think if there's just that one player that is a consistent threat in the box to put the ball in the back of the net, maybe it's Cadiz, we don't know yet. Then this team can launch itself into a contender in this league.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I think like Ben said, games against DC are never pretty. But the being able to grind out games and win ugly when needed goes a long way. And I think that last night Mukhtar, if he would have been healthy, would have I think it would have been a different game with the ability to find space. But all right, well, after the break, we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about Houston on Sat, the rest of the league schedule. All right, everybody, welcome back to Speedway Soccer. I'm here with Lucas Panzica and Ben Wright. Let's kind of dive into Nashville's next game. Comes quick with a match against Houston Dynamo on Saturday at home. Houston's coming off a 4-0 loss on the road to Chicago. They've had some up and down results. They've won some big games 4-0. They've lost some matches by large goal margins. They're kind of been all over the place. But, Ben, what are some of your thoughts about how Nashville lines up against Houston on Saturday?
Yeah, I think on face value, it looks like they're catching Houston at the right time. But it feels like Houston are going to be really motivated after a 4-0 loss to Chicago and are probably looking at this as a potential bounce back game. I think for Nashville, it's good for them that Albert Aldis was transferred when he was, because I think he's been the most dangerous player Houston have had for the past couple of years. But yeah, I think I would just at face value think that Nashville should be the favorites in this one. They're on a strong unbeaten stretch at home. And I would take them in this one. But yeah, Houston's always a tricky team, especially under Tab Ramos. I think he's started to instill a little bit more of a tactical identity than they've had in the past couple seasons.
Ben, who do you think Nashville might expect to get back as this collection of injuries have piled up a little bit in the last week? We saw Leal back in action the other day, but what's an update on Hany Mukhtar?
Yeah, so we didn't really get much of an update on Mukhtar after the game last night. I would expect that Leal would get the start again. Dax McCarty, Gary Smith said that he was unwell after the match. Not sure if he was referring to an injury or potential sickness, but he said that's the reason that McCarty was only able to go for 60 minutes. So he's one that I'd keep an eye on to see if he's able to get the start again. If he's not, it could be Derek Jones dropping back or potentially a guy like Brian Enunga playing deeper instead. And I think the big injury, obviously, was Dom Baji coming off after 20 minutes. Looked like a hamstring injury, and we haven't heard anything official, but just those injuries typically can knock you out for a couple weeks. So I would expect with Baji out, and then obviously Akamin and Lottie not being available for the past couple matches, it looks like Daniel Rios is really the only healthy striker that they have at this point. So I would expect to see him get the start again.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Houston team that Nashville can face, you know, Ben, you're right. Aber, at least being gone is a huge boost to Nashville. But I mean, they definitely have some guys out there that can hurt Nashville, like guys like Darren Quintero, Christian Ramirez, or Memo Rodriguez. Definitely some guys for Nashville to keep an eye on. And I would, you know, if Dax isn't able to go, we saw when Enunga came in one game how well he did. And I would like to see him again, more so than maybe Derek Jones getting that start. I think having that little bit of extra defensive presence, even though it is at home, you'll have a lot of runners in the midfield that Tab likes to utilize. So I think having a guy that is more defensive first could go a long way for Nashville.
And I like the idea of letting Godoy have a little bit more freedom to roam. So I, you know, you never want to see McCarty leave the game, but I think to see a Godoy and Enunga double pivot would be exciting. And you got to give Nashville credit here on the results that they've gotten with so many players out. I mean, we weren't able to get it done against Columbus, best team in the league with you know, so little winger depth. But I think in the last week or two, it's hard to be disappointed with what Nashville's been able to achieve with guys seemingly dropping like flies here in recent days.
Yeah, and I was kind of looking at the depth chart, looking at players that are injured. You know, there's a lot of times people may say, well, maybe Nashville's just not deep enough because of, you know, the guys that are out. But there's never a chance where you're thinking that, you know, three of your guys that can play on the right wing are out at the same time. And then losing Baji last night, who, you know, I saw, like, as soon as he pulled up, it looked like a hamstring, and that's not an easy injury. You never plan to have that many guys out. And so it's definitely something that Nashville's been able to manage well. And, you know, hats off to Gary for being, you know, get results from, you know, a smaller, more banged up squad. But all right. So looking at, you know, one of the things that we also saw this week was the rest of the schedule came out. So we now know Nashville's schedule for the rest of the season. I mean, some of the big things that stand out is the fact that, you know, Nashville does not play FC Cincinnati, which I think is a surprise to everyone, considering they're the second closest home team. But I think probably the other big surprise was the amount of Western Conference teams that Nashville will face. You see that we'll play Sporting, we play Houston a few more times, and then also we have another game against FC Dallas plus the makeup. Ben, what were kind of final thought, our first glance at the Nashville schedule?
Yeah, I mean, so four of the announced matches are going to be a Western Conference, and then it'll bump up to five because that makeup game against Dallas from the MLS's back tournament still hasn't been announced. So that will get added to the schedule at some point. That was interesting. I think it's also interesting just how most of the teams that Nashville is going to play are in playoff position. So we've talked about them as potentially a playoff team, and I think they have the quality and are on the form to get into the playoffs, but it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. And the teams that they play in the Western Conference, like Minnesota United and Sporting KC, are two of the, I would say, better sides in the league. And so those are both going to be tough tests for Nashville.
Does it feel like MLS kind of just started drawing teams out of a hat for the remainder of Nashville's schedule? Felt like no rhyme or reason to play in Houston twice to you know, close out the season.
Yeah, I mean, I know that some of the issues the Canadian teams posed, a lot of issues, like with the first two phases of the restart, the fact that, you know, they all had to play each other because they could not, no American teams could come up to Canada, and there were some issues with them coming in and then going back. So I know that played a large part in some of the scheduling quirks, but it definitely does feel a little bit of like just pulling names out of the hat.
Yeah, and they're going to play I believe 6 games in 28 days. Potentially more once that Dallas match gets announced. So it's going to be, for an injury hit squad already, it's going to be a lot of matches in quick succession, and we're going to have to see a lot, probably more squad rotation than we have up to this point.
Yeah, I think a good thing though is, you know, after the match tomorrow on Saturday, Nashville will have a full week, and I think that both Gary Smith on the training field and then, you know, getting guys back healthy, I think that week is going to be very key with getting guys ready and getting guys back. Because yeah, once you hit that, it gets very quick. Games are, you know, every 3-4 days, and you know, we still have that Dallas game to fit in as well. So definitely going to be something to keep an eye on. You know, I also looking forward to the season. A lot of talk, you know, Nashville did sign their DP number 9. But Yonder Cadiz has yet to join the team. Ben, what's the latest update on Cadiz?
Yeah, the latest update is that there is no update. He is still working on getting into the country. We heard potential rumors of some visa issues initially, and I mean, that was before he was officially signed, and I don't believe Nashville would have signed him if they weren't confident those would get resolved. One interesting note is that he has been called up to the preliminary squad for the Venezuelan national team in this upcoming international window. So, I mean, this is pure speculation on my part, but it would make sense if Nashville is just waiting and potentially going to let him go to that window. Obviously, FIFA mandates that teams release their players for that. So from their perspective, if he's going to go play in that window, it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to come to the U.S., quarantine for 10 days, go back to Venezuela and play in the international break, and then come back to the U.S. and quarantine again. So I'm wondering if Nashville is just going to let him go to Venezuela on the international break and come back to the country after that and start the whole acclimation process after then. That would make a lot more sense. But either way, he's not in the country. He's going to have to quarantine when he does. And then once he's finished with quarantine, he's going to have to get up to speed because he hasn't played a competitive match since March 7th. So I don't think we're going to see him play for Nashville. I would guess for at least a couple weeks. Hopefully Nashville will have him up and running for the last couple matches of the season and potentially into the playoffs.
Yeah, and you're going to have to find ways to manufacture goals without him. It's been scrappy just trying to get the ball into the back of the net. So just one or two guys to step up and have that holdover until Cadiz gets here. But even then, you know, how should Nashville SC fans feel about this, Ben? I mean, is this a guy that fans should expect to come in and solve all these issues we're talking about for a DP9? Flashed in France, big physical striker. But when you look at numbers, he hasn't consistently put the ball in the back of the net in any of his recent stops. So how should Nashville SC fans be feeling about this?
Well, I mean, I think he's a better player than any of the strikers that they have currently. And I think I would describe him as doing all the things that Baji does, but better. He's a really good runner. He has really good hold up play. I think his hold up play is probably more of a developed attribute at this point than his finishing, but he's also a guy who can pop up with a couple of important goals, the kind of goals that we haven't seen Nashville be able to score. I think for Nashville though, the real issue hasn't been finishing. It's been creating consistent, really good chances. I mean, they've scored 10 goals. A lot of those have come from set pieces. A lot of those have come from winning the ball in midfield and going to goal directly, but they're not creating the type of chances that you say, okay, wow, how did this guy miss? And those are the type of chances that you want to see your team creating. I mean, Daniel Rios had a couple of half chances. He had that one. after the McCarty, after McCarty headed the ball back across that he missed that really should have gone on goal. But that's one of the few chances that we've seen really all year that you can say, oh, wow, the striker should have scored and didn't. So I think for Nashville, they really have to start being able to create better chances more consistently. And I think if they aren't able to do that, I think Cadiz, I mean, he'll be better, but I think we're going to see some of the same types of issues. Strikers looking isolated, having to drift wide or drop deep to get on the ball. And I don't think, if Nashville can't fix that, I don't think Cadiz is just going to walk in and fix the goal scoring issues.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It's definitely something that he will provide an improvement, but there's some more root cause issues at play that I think Nashville can solve before he gets here. But, you know, looking at, you know, talking about him being called out to the preliminary squad, Venezuela plays at Colombia on October 9th and home against Paraguay on the 13th of October. So, I mean, even if he doesn't play in those games, I think him getting into a camp, a national team camp, could go a long way with, you know, him coming into when he does get back, going to get into Nashville, having him, you know, be a little more ready than, you know, not having played any games. So I think that'll go definitely a long way.
Yeah.
And
I was just going to say, until he gets here with the Baggio injury, I imagine for the next couple games, at least, it's just going to be the Daniel Rios show. And personally, I'm ready to see that. I think he has more potential than any of the strikers currently on the roster. I think he is better hold-up player than any of the strikers on the roster. And I think that there's an argument, too, that he's just a better finisher from his time in USL. So I'm ready to see him get an extended run in the team.
And I'll add, it'll be interesting to see, you know, and you hope everything is good with Baggi and that he's back as soon as possible. But it would be interesting to see Rios without any number nines nipping at his heels, knowing that that's his spot for an extended period of a few games. See maybe how that affects his play.
Yeah, probably the big thing, I think, you know, looking at, I like Rios from the start a lot because I like the idea of Baggi being able to come off the bench. Having a guy with his size and speed, you know, running at tired legs is definitely something that I think he can excel at. You know, so the last piece of news, Nashville announced today that they have selected a location for their training facility in Antioch. Ben, I know Ben has the latest on that. If you want to share that with us.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a question that's kind of been thrown around for a couple of years, really ever since the MLS announcement came. And Nashville was always pretty adamant that they were going to get land and build a facility in Davidson County, close to downtown Nashville. So their new training facility is going to be at Century Farms, which is a new development right off of 24 over like off by the Hickory Hollow area. A new development, 300 acres. It's going to be mixed use. So there's going to be some residential and commercial use as well, but they're going to have three full training fields, the full facilities, the works. And it's really, from a club perspective, it's a lot easier to deal with than being over at Curry Ingram on the other side of the city from the stadium, from the club offices, which are all over by the fairgrounds. So yeah, it's an exciting development for Nashville as they're building the stadium. I think we're going to start seeing just more, the team start to be more settled as things like this start to develop.
Yeah, and I will say selfishly, as someone who's made that drive to Curry Ingram for training, it'll be nice to have them closer, because it's a little bit of a hike to get out there. But I'm down
in Nolensville, so it's 6 miles from my house, which I will very much, I'll appreciate that.
Yeah, I think probably the other thing is, you know, I'm wondering is, you know, there's always been talk of, you know, is Nashville going to have a USL team at some point? Is it going to be a USL2 team? There's been talk about where location. I think the location of this training facility could put them in a good place to, you know, play in Murfreesboro. You know, that's kind of in a good location where, you know, it is a separate city. So you may be able to draw some of the people that don't always want to make that drive into Nashville, but also keep it close and feel cohesive as well.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how that develops. I think a USL team makes sense. I think that's probably a couple years down the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this would, having a training facility like this definitely gives them options.
Well, all right. Well, I think that about covers it. So, you know, make sure to check out Broadway Sports and Speedway Soccer for all the coverage coming with the game on Saturday. I know Andy's got his player ratings that are dropping today as well. So make sure to check those out. And we will be back next week on a more regular schedule.
Never go full shepherd.
Nope.